Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, my friends. Today is the fifth Sunday after Easter, of the Easter season, and it's a day on which we, in our prayers and scriptures, are invited to know God, to know Christ as the way and the truth and the life, and there, to discover eternal life. Not to know about God, but to know God. Is there a difference for you? I think there is a difference for me when we are invited not to know about God, but truly to know God, Christ as the way, truth, and life in a way that leads to eternal life. You see, each year during the Easter season, there is a certain rhythm where now, in the second half of Eastertide, we are invited back to the table to know Christ. The first Sunday of Easter, of course, is the proclamation that the tomb is empty, that he is not there. And then, for 2 weeks, we are invited to meet him again, behind locked doors, out in the world where he appears to his disciples. But now, in the second half of Eastertide, our gospel readings take us back to that upper room, invite us back to the table with Christ to hear his words again. And I think there's something important that happens each time we are invited back to the table. We hear things differently, I think, the second time around, not because the words have changed, but because what has changed since the last time we were at the table? We have. The world around us has changed. And what, of course, are we hoping will change before we come to the table again? That we will be changed, and that through us and our witness, the world also will be changed. That's why I think that there is transformation in coming to this table week by week over the course of our lives. Why Christ always invites us back to sit with him, to know him, to love him. That is, in this beautiful chapter from John's Gospel, what we hear happening. Dinner, conversation, Jesus sitting with his disciples. In the Gospel of John, it's called the Farewell Discourse, this long and beautiful collection of Jesus preparing his disciples for the time when he is no longer with them. And we have in this section of John some of the most beautiful and inspiring words in all of Scripture. I am the vine, you are the branches. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. In my Father's house there are many mansions, and today I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And there I wonder, do you hear that with certainty? Or do you hear the mystery of those words being spoken at the table? I'll confess, I'm always a bit skeptical of anyone who hears them with certainty. I'm very skeptical of anyone whose certainty means that they're willing to draw the circle more narrowly, to exclude, to keep out others. I think when Jesus calls himself the way and the truth and the life, it's an invitation to his disciples to wonder what that means, to pray and figure out how they will live into following him as the way and the truth and the life. Not to know with certainty, but instead to lean in and to wonder. That's one of the gifts, isn't it, of sitting at the table with someone. It's like an act of prayer, the deepest prayers of your heart, nothing surface level, but wanting to know the things that you carry so deeply inside of you. And actually, that's what John's gospel says to us, that when Jesus offered to his friends these most powerful sayings, they did not meet them with certainty, but with a kind of doubt, a kind of prayer of holy wondering, and they leaned in as you do at the table. And they expressed not at first their belief, but what? Their disbelief, trying to understand, wondering exactly what he meant, expressing the deepest questions and ponderings of their heart, leaning in to know him better, to love him better, so that they might also be known and loved by him. I think that is always the first task of Christian discipleship, why we come to this table in prayer, to know and love and there to find ourselves known and loved by Christ. Not with certainty, but with a holy wonder that opens us to the possibilities of his self-giving love. And if you follow this gospel reading closely, you see that is what happens when they respond not with certainty, but with questions, leaning in and wondering. It's there that he says to them what I think is perplexing. He says that they will go on to do greater things than he has done. That, the impossible task for me to imagine that we would do greater things than he has done. Perhaps what he means is that after we have come to this table, that we would go out being his hands and feet. But the transformation would not lie only within us, but would not be finished until it goes out into all the world. I think that is the story of Christian discipleship, something that we see play out again and again, both in the church and in the world, how each person is meant to find that kind of transformation and then to discover in that we are able to be Christ's hands and feet in the world. It's the journey of the hero with 1,000 faces. I think the world is full of those stories. But a few come to my mind. The first is in our first reading today from the book of Acts, the story of Stephen, the first deacon, Stephen, the first martyr of the church. In the Gospels, we hear very little about him. He seems to be the kind of person that gets in line and does what's right and doesn't ask very many questions. And yet, by the time we find him, as he is being killed, it is clear that he has discovered a life of transformation and of transformational love. Because as he dies, his death reminds us, me at least, of Christ's own death. How as he's being stoned, his gaze is firmly on what is eternal. And that he is forgiving those who are killing him. And repeating Christ's own words, "Into your hand I commend my spirit." That is the transformation of faith. I think of Augustine, the doctor of the church, Saint Augustine of Hippo. As a young man, he met everything with questions, philosophical wondering about everything. If you ever read his books, you'll see he really wonders about everything. And then finally, he discovers Christ, and his life is changed, and he devotes himself now to giving on behalf of the world, becomes a bishop, and there he says what we have remembered that our souls are always restless until they come to rest in God. I think of another example from the 19th century. Do you remember the book by Jane Austen, Pride and Prejudice? Do you remember Mr. Darcy? He was one of my favorite characters because as an awkward teenage young man, I kind of related to Mr. Darcy and all of his struggles to find love. Mr. Darcy did everything correctly. He made sure that he did everything correctly, and sometimes, you know how you could tell, he told people that he was doing things the right way, and in that was quite insufferable. But he realized that it was keeping him from what his heart truly desired, to know and to be known, to love and to be loved. And that is the transformation that he discovers in the end, to lay aside the perfection, the correction, the certainty, believing that he knows everything, and there to lean into the mystery of what it means to be human, and to find love and allow himself to be loved. Or if all of those seem too erudite or spiritual, it's also true in the TV show The Big Bang Theory. You know that show? Sheldon, smart, wicked smart, wise beyond all measure. He understands all of the mysteries of the universe. Except what do we discover in his character? He struggles to know and to love the people who are right in front of him. And that's his evolution, his transformation across the years of the series, that finally he discovers a way to love the people who are at the table with him. And I think that's a story of Christ, why he invites us again and again to this table, to sit with him, to know him and love him, for ourselves to be known and to be loved. Because you see, my friends, it occurs to me that if God thought we needed an explanation in life as a means of finding our way to eternal life, God would have sent us an explanation. But in the fullness of time, God sent Jesus to live and die among us, to sit at tables with us, know us, love us, and make us to believe that the same kind of love that lived in him can be present in us and then can be shared with the whole world. So, my friends, that is my prayer for you, for us, on this fifth Sunday of Easter, that we truly would not know about God, but in this place find the discovery of knowing God, of knowing Christ as the way and the truth and the life, in a way that leads not to certainty, but to eternal life. And I have it on good authority from those who knew him best that that which was the most transformational for them was to sit at the table with him, to lean in, to offer the greatest questions of their life, to pray, to receive from him, and then to prepare to give to all the world. And what did they say? They said they found in knowing him the way to eternal life. Amen.